Chag Kosher V'Sameach, Rabbi Chaim Bravender, teaching about the four sons.
And the part of the Haggadah that I'm contracted to talk about is the four sons. You know the four sons? They come up every year in the Haggadah. They're an annual feature. So if you have a Haggadah, that would be really good. And if you have a Chumash, I say a Haggadah, a Chumash, and a Rambam, Hilchos Chametz and Matzah. Right? Those are the... And now, just take a look at the Haggadah. We'll start from the Haggadah. We'll start from the Haggadah. You see Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu? You see that part of the Haggadah? I don't know what page it's on. In the Haaretz Bagaretan Haggadah, it's one page. In the Streitz Matzah Haggadah, it's on a different page. But you all have it, Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu. It's after Avodim Hayinu. Kind of comes here in the middle. In the middle of everything. Because you know that the main topic of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, certainly according to the Rambam, if you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz and Matzah Perek Zayin, the Rambam says categorically, Mitzvos Asei Shel Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, Lesata Benisim V'Niflol Shenasu Lavaseinu B'Mitzrayim, B'Leil Chamisho Asor B'Nisan. That the Ikar HaMitzvah, that the focus of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, is Nisim and Niflos. And I always say that Nisim and Niflos, of course, is about Emunah. It's about faith. Because miracles are not objective categories. In other words, miracles only really exist in the eyes of the beholder. And a miracle is what a person who believes that God is in charge of the world is doing. A miracle is not an objective category which can be distinguished easily or distinguished at all from a natural event. And that's why, that's why miracles were always a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said, what can I do? How could I convince them when I come to Mitzrayim? What will make them believe me? And what Moshe Rabbeinu meant was, after all, miracles don't mean anything to a person who doesn't have faith in miracles. Or miracles don't really exist for a person who doesn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And in fact, what happened in Mitzrayim was that the Chartumim, that the magicians in Mitzrayim, were able to imitate some small things, smaller miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did, directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then once they did that, it really didn't matter anymore if there were other miracles that they couldn't do. Right, because then the argument would always be, okay, you know, these Chartumim, you know, they're like from the Bush Leagues. But if we had Major League Chartumim, they would certainly be able to do the other miracles, just as they were able to do the easy miracles. You know, able to throw down the staff and make it turn into a snake. Okay, so then the snake of Moshe devoured their snakes. So Moshe is a bigger magician than they are. But really, you know, what difference is there? You can't have a competition about miracles, because even if you lose the competition, you haven't, even if I lose the competition, you haven't proven to me that the source of your miracle is God. It's just not clear. So that miracles are not the proof of faith. But the ability to see a miracle is always an expression of faith. And that's why when the Jewish grandmothers say that it's a miracle, they're not evaluating the event. They're not evaluating the event statistically. It's not true that if they would have an almanac which would tell them the statistics on this type of event, that their position would change. Their position would not change. Because their position is not based on a lack of statistical information. But the position of the grandmothers is based on the fact that they know, that means faith, they have faith that God directs the world. And therefore, it's equally true to say, that's a miracle. I mean, everything's a miracle. And certainly things that seem to us to be unlikely, extraordinary, or statistically unreasonable, they're also miracles. But even if you had come to me and proved to me that what you think is statistically unreasonable, and this is a problem that a friend of mine explained to me once, who teaches mathematics in the Hebrew University, and his field is probability. So he said to me, you know, when you think about probability all the time, you know, and that's what you do, it's much harder to think about something that's improbable than for a person who never thinks about probability, right? And I understand that even if you would explain that everything that I think is a miracle is improbable, it's irrelevant, because the issue is emuna. That was the problem that B'nai Yisrael had at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So when the Rambam says, mitzvah l'saper b'nisim v'niflo shenasu l'avoseinu b'mitzrayim, what the Rambam says is that the sipur of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the telling of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, is a story of faith. And that's what the drushes mean when you say, oh, you think there were 10 miracles? Maybe there were 50 miracles. You know, maybe it was an etzba, a hand, two hands, right? You know, 250 miracles. So you think it's just kind of childish. After all, the Torah says there were 10 miracles. Why do we have to make it into 250 miracles for? You know, 10 miracles is good enough. There's no. You see, the nature of miracles is that they multiply themselves. That's the teva. The teva is that when you see a miracle, you'll see more miracles. That's the way it really is. So that when the Medrash directs us, to look for miracles, the Medrash says, tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, look for miracles. How many? Look for 250 miracles. Go ahead, count them up. Try to imagine what the 250 miracles were. So it seems to me that that's a reasonable position, because the 250 miracles means that if you look harder and harder in a world of miracles, you're going to find more miracles, because miracles are not about what God did at a particular moment in the history of the world, but miracles is the word that describes the way a person of faith looks upon what's happening in history. And so there may be overt miracles, more obvious miracles, miracles that I'm directed to look at. But once I'm aware of the world being a place of miracles, there's really no end. There's no limit to the number of miracles that I'm going to find in that world. So, according to the Rambam, this is what I think. That according to the Rambam, the theme of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, the issue of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, is faith. And what we talk about on the night of Pesach, is faith. Is the emuna that is necessary to be able to see ourselves as living in a world in which there are miracles. But you know, that the way we talk about this faith is a little bit odd. The pasuk that the Rambam quotes, and we'll see where the pasuk is shortly, the pasuk that the Rambam quotes for this mitzvah, for the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mishayim, which I say is a mitzvah of faith, is Vigadato Levincha. Right? Again, on Perek Zayin, Alocha Aleph, it says, Talmud Lomar Vigadato Levincha Bayomahu. And then the Rambam is talking about the day, but Vigadato Levincha means that the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah of faith, it's a mitzvah talking about faith that we learned about in Yitzias Mitzrayim, about the involvement of the Ribbono Shel Olam in the processes of history. And that's what we're talking about a night of Pesach. The way that mitzvah is defined in the Torah is Vigadato Levincha, and you'll tell it to your son. And it's on this theme that we are this theme is the theme that interests us tonight. Why the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah of faith, is focused around Vigadato Levincha? Why is it a mitzvah of telling your son? In fact, the Rambam says, based on the Mishnayos, so I'm quoting the Rambam, but you know that the Rambam is connected very closely to the Mishnayos, and Arvei Psochim, and the Gemaras, and Arvei Psochim. Nothing in the Rambam comes from the air, but it's convenient to quote it from the Rambam, and I'm doing it. Right, of course, when I say the Rambam, I don't mean the Rambam invented it, but, you know, it comes from the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Rambam says, Afal pi she'ein lo ben. Afal pi she'ein lo ben. In other words, this idea of Vigadato Levincha is so strong that the Rambam says there could be a Havamine. I mean, it's also in the Mishnah. Again, I have to say it every time, right? But it's in the Mishnah that there's a Havamine, that if you don't have a ben, that you don't have a son sitting with you at the Seder, there's a Havamine that the mitzvah of telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim would be abrogated, that there would be no mitzvah. Right? He says, Afo Pisha ain't lo ben. Furthermore, he says, Afilu Chachomim Gedolim Chayovim Lisaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Even people who are very wise, who know what the obligations of a Jew are, who are studied in matters of faith, who after all do the mitzvahs and study Torah with Yiras Shamayim, I mean, they also have to do the mitzvah. The kol hamarich bidvor v'she'iru v'shehoyu areize mishubach. So the Rambam says that the focus of the mitzvah is Vigadato Levincha. And Vigadato Levincha means your son, dafka. Dafka your son. And if you don't have a son, you have to do the mitzvah anyway. The next halacha the Rambam says, halacha beis, Mitzvah lahodia lebonim vafilu lo shalu shenema vigadato levincha. And then the Rambam goes on and says, it's a mitzvah to tell your sons, even if they don't ask you. And how do you know? Vigadato levincha. And now the Rambam is talking about things that are a little esoteric. You see, what do you mean even if they don't ask? Who cares if they ask? And what is asking got to do? What is asking got to do with this mitzvah? If this is a mitzvah of faith, and if the mitzvah is to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim in the context of faith, and if the mitzvah is to tell your children, because after all, they're the ones who should be most interested, they're the ones who have to learn, they're the ones you want to direct. Where does this come from? What does the Rambam say, Afilu lo sha'alu? What do you mean, afilu lo sha'alu? I mean, let's say there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I have to teach my son Torah. So is there someone who says that I don't have to teach my son Torah? I wait until he asks me a good question. And if he doesn't ask me a good question, I'm not going to ask him. I mean, where do the questions come from? What's the importance of the questions that the Rambam is talking about? Then the Rambam says, Lefi dato shel ben ovi melamdo, which means that a person has to address himself to his son. Im haya katan o tipesh, omer lo bini, kulano yinu avodim kmo shivcha zog, kmo evet zed mitzrayim, velay lo zeh, podo asa kodesh boch, vizel lecheirus. Im haya ben godo the chacham, modiyo mashiru alo mitzrayim, venisim nasol amoy, moshe rabbeinu, kol vi datu shabbe. So he says, the vigara to levincha is not just a formal obligation, but it relates to the children who are there. The children are there at the spot. If you have little children, and they haven't learned so much, you have to talk to them. You have to say, children, I want you to understand about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So even if you have to say something, the Rambam really says, even if you have to say something silly. Like, we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and you have in your house, you know, in those days, everybody had a shifcha, somebody, a servant, a maid servant, a servant girl, just like this servant girl. We were slaves like this servant girl. I mean, that's sort of silly, isn't it? Because we weren't slaves like this servant girl. The servant girl's probably working for a living, and we were enslaved by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. There's really no connection. However, the Rambam says, you have to talk to the children. Because the mitzvah of Igara to Lebincha is a mitzvah which creates obligations. That if the children are wiser, if they're cleverer, so you explain it in a way that they understand. That's Igara to Lebincha. Next halacha. Halacha Gimel. Tzorich laso shinu belayla zeh, kidei shiyu avonu v'yishalu. And he says, Vigarato Levincha, right, the definition of Vigarato Levincha is that I tell my son. However, I want my son to ask. In order to get him to ask, I'm going to like create all kinds of, I'll do all kinds of strange things. I'll stand on my head, I'll run around the table, I'll eat things that I never eat otherwise. I'll go and do tefillah when I don't do it. I'm not supposed to do tefillah. I'll do all kinds of crazy things. Just so that my son will say, hey, what's going on? Anything. Just get him interested. It seems, again, that this is kind of extraneous or extravagant. Why can't I just say to my son, okay, listen, kid, this is the story of Pesach, right? Just like I would teach him other things. You know, say, all right, sit down. Let's learn a Mishnah, right? So you say, Me'evasai Korim Kriyashma Shal Arvis. You see he's not paying attention? Whack. Right? That's a halacha. You don't say, please ask me a question. Or please show me that you're interested in the Mishnah. I mean, that's a problem of teaching. It's a problem of dynamics. I mean, it's not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to teach the kid. What if the kid doesn't want to learn? You beat the living daylights out of him. As we've learned in the Gemara in Makkos. I mean, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. The fact that the Mishnah in Makkos, you know, there's a problem. The father or the Rebbe goes and beats the living daylights out of his Talmud. Is he Chayim Golos or not, right? You know, because after all, he started out the Heter. I mean, the Torah says give a few whacks. I mean, he didn't say exactly how many. So he made a mistake. He gave him a few too much. So he says, you understand that this whole thing, what's going on Pesach, is not the way we teach Torah. We teach Torah neurotically. We're not, you know, like let's all love to learn a Mishnah. You know, you say, I want my children to love to learn Torah. I want them to just think it's a combination between a symphony and a, you know, major league basketball game. I mean, it's not like that. There's an urgency to learning Torah. There's a mitzvah to learning Torah. Of course, I want my children to love to learn Torah. And when I take my little child, by the small child to cheder, when he goes to learn Vayikra, so I give him. In the old days, used to give him candy and sweet things to eat, you know, and used to smear it on the chumash. Today, you just give, you know, a 3-year-old kid like 50 shekel and tell him to go buy whatever he wants, you know. But it's an idea, you know. He says, wow, this is what cheder is all about, you know. This is for me. So we don't teach Torah. We don't say, please ask me a question. It's not the derech of Talmud Torah. I want you to understand that even though it seems that in certain ways the Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim that we say on the night of Pesach is similar to Talmud Torah. I mean, I teach Torah to my children. This idea of creating the ambience which makes it mandatory or makes it necessary somehow for the child to ask a question is not part of the process of Talmud Torah. It may be a positive thing to do methodologically. It may be helpful to create the kind of atmosphere that you want to create in learning, but it's usually not considered to be the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So why is it that the question became, and the question from the child has become such a significant part of doing the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the Rambam says, Keshad Mishane, how do you differentiate this night from other nights? So he says, what do? You give them sweets to eat before supper. Can you imagine that? I mean, anybody who's ever been in the home with a Jewish mother knows that your mother goes around all night and says, don't eat that junk before supper. Because, not because, she doesn't care about eating junk, because she gives you plenty of junk at other times, right? But she wants you to eat what she made. Right? You have to understand, that's the Jewish mother. The Jewish mother is not worried about junk, because junk is good for you. It's good for the relationship. But she wants you to eat the stuff she made also. I mean, so here is the kid. Everybody's giving him junk food before supper. So the kid's going to say, hey, boy, this is really something. Why can't we have Pesach every night, or at least once a week? That's what will happen. That's what he says. And then the Rambam goes on and says, Okrim ha-shulcha mifneim kodem shiyochlu, v'chotvin matzo zeh miyad zeh kayosi yizvorem eilodos. What do? You give him the food and you take away the table. And then the kids start grabbing the food off the table that's moving away. So of course, I mean, this is a little strange. You know, this is all a little strange. And the kid is going to be convinced that he should say what is going on. And the nusach of what is going on is Ma nishtana halaylo hazeh mikol halaylos. That's the nusach. What is going on here? Okay? The Rambam ends this halacha gimel by saying, Ein lo ben ishto shoalto. Ein lo isho sholim zelo zeh manishtano alaylo hazeh filu kulam chachomim. He says, if he doesn't have a son, again back to the Mishnah, his wife asks him. If he doesn't have a wife and there are several people sitting around, they ask each other, adults. Even if they're all chachamim, they all know the Haggadah Baal Peh. They remember from the previous years exactly what they're going to say. They still have to ask each other, Ma nishtana halaylo hazeh? So that the question becomes part of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are anxious to create a questioner. We want someone to say Ma nishtana. We want somebody to really say it. And our preference is that it's a ben, that it's the son, that it's bincho. V'gadato lebincho. And our question is, what is this? What is this? So I want you to remember, before we talk about the Haggadah, I want you to remember a pasuk in the Chumash. The pasuk is in Perek Dalet, Shmos, Perek Dalet, pasuk of Beis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go back to Mitzrayim, because everyone who wanted to kill you is dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes his wife and his children, places them on a donkey, and he goes back to Mitzrayim, and he takes the staff, a godly staff in his hand. And God says to Moshe, when you go back to Mitzrayim, take heed of all of the miracles which I have given to you, and you will do them to Paro. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu informs Moshe Rabbeinu that Paro is not going to give in. That Paro's heart is going to be hardened by God, and he will not agree to send the Jews. Pasuk Kav Beis. Va'amarta el Pari. Ko Amar Hashem. Ko Amar Hashem. Bini Bechori Yisrael. That's the Pasuk. Hashem says, this is what you should say to Paro, in the name of God. Bini Bechori Yisrael. Translation, Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. They are Bechori. They are Bnei. Next pasuk. V'omar lecha, shalachas Bnei v'yavdeini. V'timo'ein l'shalchol, hinei anochi oregis bincha Bechorecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Paro through Moshe Rabbeinu, send out my son, let him serve me. If you refuse, hinei anochi oreg es bincha bechorecha. The punishment will be the quid pro quo, the mida kenegin mida, that you will be punished. How will you be punished? Your son, your firstborn son, will be killed. So that at the beginning of the story, Moshe Rabbeinu has not yet returned to Mitzrayim. The stage is set. The stage is set. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate to Paro how serious an issue this Yitzias Mitzrayim is. In other words, what if Paro would say, all right, Moshe Rabbeinu represents God, and God wants, or a God, and God wants Bnei Yisrael freed. But if I don't free them, if I don't let them go, if I don't listen to the plea that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Moshe Rabbeinu, well, what might happen? I will suffer a little bit. There'll be anger min hashamayim. But at the end, I mean, how important could it be that Bnei Yisrael go free? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure that Paro is not under any delusion, that he doesn't think that this is a kind of divine whim, as Lahavdil, people thought of in Greek mythologies, that gods had whims, and they had passing fancies, and they had interests, but, you know, they were just temporal interests. No, this is very serious. And what is the name for the very serious? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to say to Paro, it's very serious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bnei. That is very serious. Even Paro could understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Klal Yisrael as Bini, my son, this is not simply a passing interest or curiosity of God, but this is something that is very intimate, very close, and very serious. The Gemara says, Malamed Shi Yisrael Nikru b'no b'choro shel Yisrael. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Paro, this is B'ni. Now there's one other pasuk. If you look in Perek of Dalet, pasuk Zion, when B'nai Yisrael when Moshe Rabbeinu reads the Torah to B'nai Yisrael, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Paro, B'nai B'chori Yisrael, and that should have made it clear to Paro how serious HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about saving B'nai Yisrael. So why was it that Paro was able to withstand this argument? So there's another case. When B'nai Yisrael accepted the Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Perek of Dalet Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikra Baznei Ha'am, Rashi says Sefer HaBris is Mibreishis Ad Matan Torah. Right, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu taught B'nai Yisrael at that time the Torah that existed, which was the Torah from the beginning of Bereishis until Matan Torah. Vayomru kol asher adibar Hashem naaseh v'nishma. So B'nai Yisrael answered naaseh v'nishma. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Pei Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows: B'shor she'gdimu Yisrael naaseh v'nishma. When B'nai Yisrael said naaseh v'nishma, but also show Kol Eva Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gemara, this Gemara in Shabbos Daf. What did I say? Yeah, this is a very remarkable Gemara, because even the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Peites probably knew the Parsha of Shmos, and the fact that in Perek Dalet Posukov Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called B'nai Yisrael, when he said Moshe Rabbeinu to Paro, he called B'nai Yisrael, B'ni, B'chori Yisrael. So how is it possible that the Gemara would say, at the time that B'nai Yisrael accepted the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu called B'nai B'chori Yisrael. How could they say that? So the answer is Pasha. And the answer also explains to us the position of Paro, perhaps. The word HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Paro, B'ni, you're tampering with B'ni B'chori Yisrael. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, and what Paro must have understood, was that these people have the potential of being B'ni B'chori Yisrael. But what is it that's going to turn them into B'nai B'chori Yisrael? That's going to be the Naaseh V'nishma, the Matan Torah. So what did Paro say on that basis? So Paro said, no, all right, if B'nai Yisrael have the potential of being B'nai B'chori Yisrael, but the thing that's going to turn them into B'nai B'chori Yisrael is Naaseh V'nishma, receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, then what should I do? How will I be safe by not letting them leave Mitzrayim? Because as long as they don't leave Mitzrayim, what's the implication of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said? They're not yet B'nai B'chori Yisrael. And if they're not yet B'nai B'chori Yisrael, maybe they don't have to be saved. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not really going to save them against all odds. So you see, Paro was able to understand, according to the Gemara Shabbos Daf Pei Tes, Paro is able to understand exactly the opposite of what you think it says in the pasuk. You think it says in the pasuk that B'nai Yisrael are B'chmini B'chor Yisrael, therefore you better let them out of Mitzrayim. But Paro understood, listen, what are they? They're a bunch of slaves. I mean, they're nothing. It must mean that they could become B'nai B'chor Yisrael. But what's going to make them B'nai B'chor Yisrael? Matan Torah and Har Sinai. So if I don't let them out of Mitzrayim, so there won't be any B'nai B'chor Yisrael. So, Yitzias Mitzrayim is the story of the process of changing the Am Yisrael of the Shibur in Mitzrayim to the Am Yisrael that has the kinui of B'ni B'chori Yisrael. And when does that happen? When does that happen? When they say Nasa V'nishma Kol Gemara and Shabbos. And when do we find out that that's the issue? When Moshe Rabbeinu presents himself as credentials to Paro, he says, the issue is B'ni B'chori Yisrael. So that Yitzias Mitzrayim is about converting the people in Mitzrayim into the status of B'ni. And what makes them B'ni? Nasa V'nishma. The acceptance of the Torah through that statement of Nasa V'nishma. And so now, we understand. The Bonim, the story of the four sons, we'll get to why there are four sons in a moment, but the story of the Bonim that exists in Klal Yisrael is introduced in the Haggadah by the words Baruch HaMokom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah La'amo Yisrael. And even though the Mefarshim have difficulty with this line in the Gemara, which means blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave Torah La'amo Yisrael, because while it's true that God is certainly blessed that He gave Torah La'amo Yisrael, what does this have to do with what's going on in the Haggadah? And the answer is that the Nosan Torah La'amo Yisrael is what turned Am Yisrael into B'ni B'chori Yisrael. And therefore, the issue that comes up on Pesach, even though it's not yet Shavuos, but the issue that comes up on Pesach is not only the issue of Nisim V'Niflos, but am I on the way to becoming B'ni B'chori Yisrael? And therefore, the Haggadah says, K'neged Arba'a Bonim Dibra Torah, that not all of the sons at the Seder are necessarily at the same place on the way, on the road to becoming B'ni B'chori Yisrael. But you have to find out who you are in order to be able to move yourself along on that road. And the remez is that there are four different kinds of sons that are mentioned in the Torah itself. If you look in Devarim, Perek Vav Pasuk Kaf, Kish Alcha Bincha Mocha Lemor מה העדוס והחוקים והמשפוטים מאשר צידו השם אלוקינו אסכם? ואומרת אלו, ואינך עבור למהינו פרו במצרים וצייר השם מצרים ביד חזקה. Now just to understand the pasuk in the Chumash. This is the pasuk in the Chumash. כי ישאלך בינך מוכל למור. If your son comes to you tomorrow and says, Ma'edus v'chu mishpatim, Edus is a technical term. Chukim is a technical term. Mishpatim is a technical term, right? So what do you say about this bincha? Pretty good, eh? Pretty good in those technical terms. Maybe learn the Mishnah. Maybe learn a few psukim in the Chumash. Edus, chukim, mishpatim, he sounds like he's in the parsha. He sounds like an intelligent person, right? So what is he? He's on his way. He's like in the Torah. He's in the Torah. So what do you answer him? What does it say? What's the answer? Avodim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim v'yotzi'enu Hashem Yisrael b'yad chazakah v'yitein Hashem osos mosim g'dolim rem Yisrael faro v'yisol le'inenu v'yotzi'enu yotzi'esel v'yotzi'esel 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 v'yotzi So what's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is two parts. The first part is what we call the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? The Nisim and the Niflos. What's the Nisim and the Niflos? What's the Nisim and the Niflos? That's Emunah. That's Emunah. The second part. The second part, what's the second part? Vayitzaveinu, you see Pasuk of Dalit? Vayitzaveinu, Vasos Achukim, Liros, Hashem, Lokei, Tov, Lona, Kol HaYamim, Vachayoseinu, Tztoko, Tiyalonu, Kinishma, Asukov, Zuh, Azol, Vnei, Hashem, Lokei, Kasher, Tzivonu. In other words, the mitzvos establish the relationship. It creates Tztoko. It creates the righteous relationship. It creates the B'ni, Bechori Yisrael. It creates the B'ni Bechori Yisrael. So that in the Chumash, there's a son who comes to ask Ma Eidos Vachukim Vamishpotim Asher Tzivo Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. He's not asking, should I do the mitzvahs or should I not do the mitzvahs? But what is he asking? He's asking, why is it that the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is not enough? And the answer is that the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, that the Nisim and Niflos of Yitzias Mitzrayim are the creation of the Emunah, which enables the mitzvahs to operate as the intermediary for the B'nai B'chor Yisrael. Emunah is not the relationship that is miyuchal, that is, that we are interested in. Emunah is the foundation of the relationship. What are we interested in? B'nai B'chor Yisrael. So if this son, Gishach HaBincha, said, why do we need the mitzvahs? Why isn't Emunah enough? Right, that was his question. Well, he said, no. That Yitzias Mitzrayim is so that we should be able to have a relationship of B'ni B'chor Yisrael in the place to which we come. That's the answer. How is this question and answer stated in the Haggadah? Chocho Mahu Omer, I'm reading from the Haggadah. Right? That's the pasuk. Now, we skip. What do we skip? What part is skipped in the Haggadah? What part is skipped in the Haggadah? The part about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is Yitzias Mitzrayim skipped in the Haggadah? The story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Well, I don't know if he knows. I guess he knows, but because we've already told that story. We've told the story of Avodah Hayinu, didn't we? On the page before. If you turn back in Haggadah, you see Avodah Hayinu, power of Mitzrayim. We've already told that story. So our assumption is that when the son comes to ask the question of Ma Eidos Achukim V'Shpatim, what he means is, the meaning of the question is, that since Yitzias Mitzrayim is all for Emunah, and that's the Nisim and the Flos, why isn't the Emunah based on Nisim and the Flos enough? Why do you also need the Eidos and the Chukim and the Shpatim? So we know what the answer is, because of B'nai B'chor Yisrael. Afata Omero Kehilchos HaPesach. And here it's probably, the pshat is, if you make a little correction in the Haggadah, like a really tiny correction, it comes out to be perfect. Like, no one understands why you would go to discuss this particular Mishnah with the son who asked the question of Eidos Chukim V'Shpatim. Eim Maftir Nechal Pesach Afi Koman, that means that after you eat the Korban Pesach, you can't eat anything else. You can't eat an Afi Koman, which is some kind of Greek word for dessert. So you shouldn't eat anything you have to finish. Well, what's so important about that halacha? But you know that halacha is in the last Mishnah of Psochim. And if you read it, again, a tiny little correction. Afatar molo kilchosa pesach, And add de. Ad. Ad. Just add the word ad. In other words, in some nuschaot it says de ein maftir nachaya pesach avikoman. De. She. But if you just add an I in, ad, ein maftir nachaya pesach avikoman, it means teach him all of Hilchos Pesach until the end of the last Mishnah, which is ein maftir nachaya pesach avikoman. So what does that mean? So what do you teach him? What do you teach him? Huh? What do you do? Oh, that even in the holiday of Emunah, even the holiday that is based around the Sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there are also mitzvahs. There's an Isser of Chometz and Zachiyah of Matzah, and these things have a lot of, there's Bir Chometz and there are mitzvahs. In other words, the B'nai B'chor Yisrael exists even in Pesach. It's not just Eidos of Chugim Mishpatim in general, but it's even in Pesach, which is a time at the moment when I'm stressing the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the holiday of Emunah, or which is the statement of Emunah, I'm also weighing the matzah. Right? I want to know whether I have a shear of matzah or not. The halacha becomes the connector that creates the B'ni B'chori Yisrael. And that's what the first son says. That's what the first son says. I'll get to the Chacham and the Rasha in a minute. The second son says, now you have to look in the Chumash and Shmos, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Kof Vav. Vayoki Yomru Alechem B'neichem, Mo Avoda Hazos Lechem. Vamartem, Zevach Pesach Hu Lashem, Asha Pasach Abotei B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim, B'nei Kforos Mitzrayim, B'nei Hu Yitzir. Vayikora Amba Yish Tachavu. The Haggadah. In other words, what does the Pesukim mean? Your son say, Mo Avoda Hazos Lechem, and Avoda, the word Avoda is a word which in the Chumash usually means the Avodas HaMikdash, Korbonos. So the answer is, well, this is a Korban, the Korban Pesach, and it's about Pesach. That's the answer. Rosh HaMar Omer, so Haggadah, back to the Haggadah. Ma Avodah Azos Lachem. Okay? That's the Pesach. Lachem V'lolo. Ulefisho Tzias Atzmo Min HaKlal Kofar Be'ikah. No, all right, that's a question. That's a question, but I would like to suggest the pshat. I would like to suggest that the Rasha asked this question after the Chacham asked this question. And that's why the Rasha is a Rasha. It's true that in the Chumash, the Rasha comes before the Chacham. The Rasha is in Shmos, and the Chacham is in Devarim. But if you read the Haggadah as though everybody comes second, knows the question that was asked previously. So the first question is, what do I need mitzvahs for? Right, what do I need mitzvahs for? Isn't emunah enough? Isn't faith enough? Isn't that Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the answer is no. Even in the day of emunah, we have mitzvahs. Along comes the Rasha, because he already heard the answer of the halacha, and he says, Ma avodah azos lachem, because he wants to ask the same exact question. And the same exact question is, what do I have to do the Korban Pesach? What's so important? Isn't the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim enough? Isn't my declaration of faith enough? Isn't it enough for me to say I believe in the Nisim and the Flaws? What is it? He says, Lefisha hotzias atzma min haklal. Kofar Be'ikar. How did he take himself out of the klal? Because everybody knows that the Achdus, that the symbol of Achdus, of unity of B'nai Yisrael, is B'nai Yisrael standing at Har Sinai, right? In Shmos Perek Yutes, it's right, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, Ki ish echad b'lev echad. In other words, the achdus, the only time that achdus of Klal Yisrael is mentioned in the Torah is when they are about to receive the Torah. Without the receiving the Torah, there can't be any achdus. So if the Rosh comes along and he says, I want the emunah, but I don't want the mitzvahs, so he's hotzi is atzmo min a klal. What klal is he hotzi is atzmo from? This klal of Vayichan Shom Yisrael neged ahar, of the time when Am Yisrael were together. Where was Am Yisrael together? When they were about to receive the Torah. Va'afato hake eshino ve'molo ba'avu zeh so Hashem li b'tzeisi b'mitzrayim leave lo lohi lohoya shav loya nigal. And if hake eshino means you give him a whack and you teach him that anybody who didn't want to be part of the process of B'nai B'chori Yisrael would not have been Zoche to Yitzias Mitzrayim. The third psukim in Shmos Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayoki Yishalcha B'chol Lomor Mazos. Mazos. Rashi says, Zeti nok tipesh. Sheino yodela amikshe lasov is so same v'shoel mazos. A child, a stupid child, doesn't know how to ask. But he just asks, says mazos. So the tam, mahu omer, he said mazos. In other words, he goes over the question of the Rosha. The Rosha said, why do I need the Korban Pesach? Isn't the Avod, isn't the Amunah enough? And he gets an explanation, but the Tam doesn't understand the explanation. He says, Mazo. So what's the answer? What's the answer to the Tam? The answer to the Tam is not like the answer to the Rosha. After all, the Rosha asked about a Korban Pesach. And the answer to the Rosha is, you better do the mitzvahs, because if you don't do the mitzvahs, you're motzi atzmei klal. If you're motzi atzmei klal, then you're not bechi b'chor Yisrael. But the Tam Nebuch, he doesn't understand what's going on. So what do we say to the Tam? We start over again. We say, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nisim Niflos. He b'chlal doesn't know what's going on. So we have to start from the beginning. Finally, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Da Zayin. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Ches. Says, "We got it to Levincha by Yom Ahulei Mo, but who's there? So Hashem leave it safe in Israel." We got it to Levincha by Yom Ahu. In other words, even if he doesn't ask, even doesn't ask you anything. Bavuzeh, and what does Rashi say? What is Bavuzeh? According to Rashi in the Chumash, Bavusha Kaye Mitzvosa, Kegon Pesach, Matzah, Umoro, Halolo. Zeh. The word Zeh, the word of pointing, is always about mitzvahs. The pitzer Pesach, Korban Pesach, and Matzah, and Moro, that's what Zeh is. So she'ena yudel shah ptach lo shenemar v'gad et l'bincha b'yom hulei mo b'avu zeh aso Hashem li b'tzeisi b'mitzray. So you see that the sons, the b'ni, represent, right, the theme of the sons in the Haggadah represent, are about that theme. The struggle between the man of faith and the man of mitzvos. And the sons are addressing themselves, each in their own way, to the question of why on Pesach can't I take a stand in favor of the nisim and the flows, the emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and forego the mitzvos. And forego the mitzvos which seem to be on a different order or a different level of response. And the way the Chazal understood, the way the Chazal understood this distinction in the parashas, four different places in the Torah, is that there are arba abonim, echad chocham, echad rosha, echad tam, echad sheino yedei lishol. And the reason we say that, the reason that we, each of us, in our Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, speak about the four sons, is not because, chas v'sholom, anyone at their Seder has representatives of any of these categories. But probably because, if you look carefully at yourselves, or if we look carefully at ourselves, and we look carefully at the questions that are asked by the four sons, we will see probably that each of us at some time, or perhaps each of us at every time, identifies himself with these four sons. And that each of us is a composite. No one entirely good, no one entirely bad. No one always activating his knowledge and intelligence, and each one of us sometimes judiciously remaining quiet about whatever it is that we may be thinking. So that the theme of V'higadot Levincha is translated by Chazal as follows. Not only do I have to tell my son, but you know, if my wife is there, my son is not there, I tell my wife. If only the Chachomim are there, we tell each other. But if I'm there by myself, then I tell myself. And what do I tell myself? I tell myself that V'higadot Levincha is about me. And that each one of us is one of those bonim, one of those arba bonim. And each one of us may vacillate. We have the capacity to be the ben ha-chocham, to be the ben ha-rosha, to be a tam, to be sheino yedei lishol. Each of whom is making a critical mistake. The chocham is making a mistake because he's saying, isn't emuna more important than kiyum ha-mitzvahs? Aren't the nisim v'niflos ultimately more significant than the B'ni B'chori Yisrael? But he's saying it like a Chochmah. The Rosh is saying the same thing, but he says it after the answer that the Chochmah received. And that's what makes him a Rosh. The Tam is not a Tam. He's a person who he has in his mind the wrong thought, but he doesn't want to express it. And she'eino yedei lishol, I mean, each one of us is sometimes in the category of she'eino yedei lishol. We know what we think, but we don't want to be confrontational. We don't want to have to defend ourselves. We'll rather quietly go our way. So the ikar ha-mitzvah of higadot Levincha is about me to myself. And it's not only about telling the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's about the capacity that I have to develop to see myself playing the role of the Arba Bonim. So Keneged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah doesn't mean, like with other mitzvahs, that I have to go look for these four sons. Because they're always there. They're always around the table. There's always difficulty in determining the exact nature of the obligations that I have vis-a-vis emuna and mitzvah. But as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Paro, ultimately the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim is B'ni B'chori Yisrael. And when a Klal Yisrael, when do they deserve or receive the accolade of B'ni B'chori Yisrael? When they say Nasa V'nishma, after this galos, after the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. And that was the issue that Paro fought against. If I stop them from leaving Mitzrayim, then they won't be B'nai B'chori Yisrael. And that's what we have to understand, B'chol Dor V'Dor, that even if we think of ourselves as achieving some level of emunah, of recognizing God's intervention in the world in Nisim and Niflaos, we ultimately have to see ourselves as accepting the obligation of living up to the standard of B'nai B'chori Yisrael, which is connected intimately and uniquely to the Nas of Inishma of B'nai Yisrael Har Sinai.